Welcome to another episode of the Sfarim Chatter Podcast. I'm Nachi Weinstein. This episode of the podcast, a bonus extra episode this week, is brought to you by Feldheim. Besides being the distributor of the subject book of this episode, they have just published a brand new book about Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal, titled Looking into the Sun, A Taste of the Torah, Life, and Legacy of Rav Moshe Shapira Through the Lens of One Talmud, Menachem Nissel. Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal was a giant in Torah and Machshava. He gave 30 to 40 shiurim every week, elevating his listeners by revealing the beauty, profundity, and majesty of Torah. He traveled the world over, building communities and teaching countless Talmidim. His vast knowledge and ability to penetrate depths in all spheres of Torah was unparalleled in our generation. At the same time, he had extreme love and patience for every Jew, with a singular place in his heart for struggling teens and special needs children. He was a pioneer in the Kiruv movement. His greatness was as blinding as the sun. Hence the title, Looking into the Sun. In Looking into the Sun, Rabbi Menachem Nissel, renowned educator, calls from Rav Moshe Shiurim to address the most vital topics of our day. He also shares his 37 years of personal memories, accompanied with stories from Rav Moshe's life. It is only a glimpse, radiating with the light, the warmth, and power of one of the unique Gedolim of our times. And I think it's important to emphasize that Rav Moshe has many Talmidim, and anyone who follows the Sfarim world knows that there's been many Sfarim published by different Talmidim over the past few years, especially since his passing. But this book is unique. It's English, first of all, and it's unique in that it's filled with Rav Nissel's personal experiences, Divrei Torah, life lessons, various anecdotes, stories, Rav Moshe's life. So it's a little bit of everything. Like it says, it's a taste of the Torah life and legacy. It's not a biography. It's not a Torah book. It's a little of everything with pictures. And it's really quite interesting. So for those interested in purchasing, please check out the link in the show's notes below or in your local and Sfarim and Judaica store. If anyone would like to sponsor an episode of the podcast, please email me, sfarimchatter@gmail.com, or see the links and information in the show's notes below. Additionally, please check out the new Sfarim Chatter YouTube channel, Chatter Plus, for the ongoing video series that's going on there. Also, please subscribe and check out the Sfarim Chatter Substack. You can find the link to that in the show's notes. That's like a blog. You get it emailed directly to you. If anyone's interested in writing, post an essay about Sfarim books, etc., please email me, sfarimchatter@gmail.com. You can also find the link to this Sfarim Chatter WhatsApp community, the admin-only chat where I post information about new books, Sfarim podcasts, and other related things. The link is in the show's notes. And finally, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on wherever you is that you listen, 24/6, Apple, Spotify, etc. And if you listen on Apple, please subscribe, rate, and review. And please enjoy the episode, a very interesting episode for me to record and to read this book, Idea Satira, how to remember your learning. And also, there actually is an article in Mishpacha Magazine about this, and I'll link to that in the show's notes. And I will obviously link to the book in the show's notes. And once again, I will also link to the book Looking into the Sun, about Rav Moshe Shapira, published by Feldheim and written by his Talmud, Rabbi Menachem Nissel. Enjoy the episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Sfarim Chatter Podcast. In this episode of the podcast, I'm going to be joined by Rabbi David Schoonmaker, who is the Rosh Hashiva of Chappelle's Darkei Noam in Yerushalayim. And we will be discussing his new sefer, which he printed in English, Idea Satira Step by Step, A Practical Guide to Retaining Your Learning. Distributed by Feldheim. So thank you, Rabbi Schoonmaker, for joining me.
My pleasure. It's so great to be here. And thank you very, very much for having me. And hello to everybody listening out there. And thank you for listening.
Okay, so let's start off. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. I actually went to public school till eighth grade. I won't take you back to the diapers. I don't know whether we wore Huggies or Pampers back then. I don't remember, but went to Yeshiva High School, and then went to Karabiyamna for 2 years. Then I lived Barbara Sikoshlevsky for about seven, went to the Mir for a bunch of years, Baruch Hashem, and then learned by Rabbi Yaakov Friedman, who has a pretty famous Yeshiva in Beitar. So Baruch Hashem, I was able to learn a lot in the normal standard way, focusing mostly on Ian, etc. Over the summers, I was a Rebbe in the NCSY Summer Kollel when I was young. Now it's a program with hundreds and hundreds of fellows. I haven't been there for many, many years, decades even. But at the beginning, we were there when there was 48 Talmidim, then 86, then et cetera, and then exploded. Soon after that, around that period, about when I was around 33 or so, I became a Rebbe in Eishet Torah in Yerushalayim. I had no former connection to Eishet Torah, but it was a really nice step for me. I originally thought I'd work more in the post-high school gap year type programs. My father happens to be Rabbi Shesevsky of Or Yerushalayim, and I got into Karen Biavda myself, etc. But that's Shem had different plans, and I ended up working more in with Bali Tshuva, and I became administrative in Eish HaTorah eventually, and I was there about 15 years. I was Rosh Beis Medrash, etc. And 5.5 years ago, I was zochet to come to Chappelle's, which is wonderful, you know, Baruch Hashem. And I've been Rosh Yeshiva there for 5.5 years. And my wife is quite famous, Rebbe Zandina Schoonmaker, teaches all over and writes, etc. A bunch of children, grandchildren. I have a beautiful life in Yerushalayim. Thank God. I'm zochet to lumot olamit a lot in different ways. And that's kind of the short story.
Okay. So this book, like I said, this is about, like, it's a Yedias HaTorah, and it's a practical guide to retaining your learning. How did you get into this topic before we even get more into the Sefer? Was this, does this have to do with your being an Aish and now Chappelle's being Reshiva? Where does this come from?
Great. I love that question, because I think the answer is very relevant for everybody. The way I got into this topic is because I started, you know, Miyom Omde Al Daiti about 16, 17. I got into learning, Baruch Hashem. I came to Karen Biavda with the engines going. I learned with the Marshav Summer Kol in 11th grade, and I went to a learning program in Shiloh in 12th grade. By the time I got there at Surl, I was ready to go. And I started learning. And when you start learning, so pretty quickly, you start to realize that retaining learning is part of learning. There's a mitzvah of being Yege B'Torah, Yisim Bo Yom V'Layla, Iyan HaTorah, etc. And of course, in the midst of Shinantan Levanech, Shidivari Torah Mekudom V'Ticha, that a person is supposed to know and retain his learning. So the topic of retaining learning is really one that that I was dealing with right away. And the reason it was in a certain way more of a topic for me was because if I have any skills in learning, for example, it's much more in Iyan HaTorah, and I've been giving an Iyan Shir for, I think, over 20 years now. That's where my natural kochos are, et cetera. And the idea of remembering really well was and has been a struggle for me. And therefore, it's decades built back and forth of how to do this in a good way. And at a certain point, I realized that the same struggle that I'm having, that there are hundreds and thousands of learners out there who are having that struggle. I would probably guess most learners are having that struggle. So having strategies, ideas, etc., became something that was always a topic. And just saying, you know, chazer, I have to chazer more, you know, that comes up short for most of us most of the time. That's kind of the way it evolved. And then at a certain point, I had no plans of ever writing anything. And I wrote another Sefer Baruch Hashem on Sefer HaChinuch, which is more a kitzer, user-friendly version. And just like that Sefer came out of nowhere, this Sefer in a certain way came out of nowhere. You know, there's a certain... I don't per se see myself as a writer, and something I'm planning on writing my next book and then setting this up for a touring thing. Not at all. It's just at a certain point, it's like, oh, this is something that maybe others can benefit from. Let's make this happen. And I sat down and started writing, et cetera. And here we are.
So I want to ask you a question that this is oftentimes I ask this at the end. Listeners, you know, familiar with the podcast, you're familiar, you know. I don't ask this all the time, but why, you know, who is this geared for? Who are you aiming the Sefer towards? But I want to ask that here, because I think it's so important. As you said, you deal with Bali Tshuva. You're an Aish. You're in Chappelle's now. That's who you deal with. There's also, as you mentioned, right, the Bachrim, Yungalite, there's Balabatim. Who are you? Who is this Sefer? Who do you envision? And I go more beyond just asking who you gearing the Sefer towards. You know, who are you envisioning, you know, this issue with that you're trying to come to address or to bring up these points?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's a great question. Should I call you Nachi, by the way? What should I?
Absolutely. Nachi is just fine.
You sure? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Nachi. So, Reb Nachi, we call you Reb Nachi. Thank you, Reb Nachi. So, that's a super important question. There's two parts to the answer to that question. One is like this. In my perception, and this is not in the book, so you're hearing something that's not in the book, is that there are three types of learners, serious learners. And one, when it comes to memory and retaining learning and all that, there are people who have naturally outstanding memories. I have friends like that. There are people out there who have photographic memories. We know them. We hear them. You can hear when, you know, Rabbi Eitan Feiner is a friend of mine, gives a speech. He works very, very hard, Rabbi Eitan, but he also has a really good memory, as we say in Yiddish. There are people who have phenomenal memories. There are people that's known. Less known is there are people who have who the whole idea of Chazara and plans and strategies to Chazar and times Chazaring, like that's just like a natural thing to them. Oh, of course, I get that. Obviously, you learn something, you have to retain it and you have to go over it and you have to keep Chazaring. They get that. That speaks to them. And then there's, now when those two things come together, usually you have a great potential for an outstanding off the charts Talmud Chacham. When those are two together, because the natural memory and the natural Chazara skills fit together, that's that. But there's a third category who's really everybody else. And my suspicion and guess, that's about 80% of learners. Because to remember learning, I don't have a bad memory. I wouldn't say that. I want to put down the matanas that Hashem has given me or given others. But you need a very good memory to remember, because Gemara is very, very complex. It's a brilliant conversation between Gaon and Gaonim, to say the very least. And to remember it, you really have to have a very good memory. So there's so many people out there that are struggling with a plan of how to retain their learning. So if you're not in the first two categories, if you have an outstanding memory, I don't know if you really need this book. If you have outstanding Chazara skills and you've been have a system developed yourself, I need this. But if you're part of that third category, really you do. And it's, you know, it goes across. I happen to deal specifically with Bali Tshuva, but absolutely did not write it for Bali Tshuva specifically. Absolutely not. I'm Balabata reading it. I spoke in Yeshivas Taurus Chaim recently. I spoke in Medrash Shmuel recently. I spoke in Shalvim. I've, you know, a bunch of places I've spoken in Baltimore and Philadelphia on a trip to America in November. The people need this safer. And no one's saying to me, oh, this is just not relevant. This is not a topic for me. And people are struggling with it. I received a unsolicited email from Yitzhak Breidowitz, who's a leading rabbi in the Anglo community, quite famous. It was extremely nice of him to write me. And it was unsolicited. I didn't ask him. I even checked it. I sent the sefer to him. I was wondering afterwards. And he said, this is really for beginner to seasoned Talmud Chacham. And, you know, I have to say, I agree with him. You know, who am I to disagree with Ari Breidowitz? Because it is for a seasoned Talmud Chacham also. Magidei Shir struggle with remembering things. And they don't, now I want to say one other thing. Together with the struggle is really this very, very little hadrafa guidance or a system. If you look around, most people don't have any system for it. And then again, the average, I'm more familiar at this stage with the Israeli, you know, my sons went through the regular Israeli system, Chevron Yeshiva, et cetera. So the average Bachar, I figure, till Abrich gets about 10 years of Hadracha and how to learn from 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, Shivik Tani, Shivik Dola, Kol years, you're learning how to learn, you know, either from the Rebbeim, directly from the Sviva. How much Hadracha does one get and how to retain their learning? And that's a question we all have to think about, and it's very, very little. And therefore, you know, my sefer is addressed to so many people who are there. I wrote it in English. I'm thinking about translating it into Hebrew. I would love to translate it into Hebrew. But this, you know, that's, I think, you know, I've given out of them. We have a lot of people in the Mir Yeshiva learning. We sent some to Lakewood Yeshiva. You know, some people are more, some people, like, culturally, I don't want to get into it, but culturally, for some, unfortunately, some people are more closed to new ideas or new methods, which is really a shame. You know, one of the main things I've learned in chinuch is you have to do different things today. And especially in this area, you have to do different things. So it's really for everybody who's serious. If you're not a serious learner, you don't have to read it. And if you have if you're a serious learner, have a great memory, you don't have to learn it. But we're covering a pretty big
So before we get to your mahalach, your method, I want to ask you, you know, what you just said, which is, you say people don't have Bala Hadracha besides Chazar more, you know, Chazar more, Chazar again. So where did you get the Hadrach? Where's your, in this Chazara, this Indian of learning more and reviewing it and retaining it, where did you get that kind of Hadracha, this kind of Mahalach that we'll talk about in a minute?
That's a great question. Well, it's interesting. One of my most brilliant Rebbeim was named Mendel Blachman. And as I was writing the saying, he has a, you know, he has a phenomenal memory and he's a phenomenal Gaon. It's pretty well known. And when I was talking about simanim, which are really mnemonics, Chazal, which Chazal advised to talk about using mnemonics, so I remember, like, where did I first hear about that? I said, oh, Reb Lachman said he used to use mnemonics. He used to use simanim to remember what Dapa something was on. So, but I wouldn't say it was based on that. I know Noah Weinberg was very, very into simanim. You know, Zichru is very, very hot today, Baruch Hashem, I think, and getting a lot of traction. So that was the Talmud of Noah, but it wasn't, I learned by the place where I was that most had a Mahalach and Chazara was by Rabbi Yaakov Friedman, who has a real system of learning things four times. If you know the yeshiva in Beitar, Birchas Mordechai, which is, you know, Rabbi Yaakov is an Adam Gadol, it's an outstanding yeshiva. And there is really a system of Chazara that's built in, but I wouldn't say even with that it was really, it wasn't something I was like makabel from a specific Rebbe. It was a lot of things that I put together over the years myself. So I would say, as opposed to let's say my Ian Shurim, which I can directly see where, what was Rebbe Svi, what was Rebbe Lachman, what was Rebbe Yaakov, and every day I'm living very much under the thankful guidance of my Rebbeim. I don't feel that as much here. It was kind of things that I had to put together to a certain extent on my own, and it was kind of like stuff I was doing myself, and then I took a step back and reflected, and said, like, what am I doing exactly here? And that's really where the book started to come about, and say to break things down, which really was, it was partially like getting the Ian skills from the system of knowing how to break things down, and then looking back and saying, well, what am I doing and what's working, and you know, and then obviously then reading other Svarim. Of course, at that point, I did read a bunch of Svarim. I read, you know, secular books on memory, which definitely had some role also. You know, that's kind of the evolution. But it's not a clear, you know, this thing, this person exactly did that. It was inspired and then built and developed.
Okay, so let's jump into it. Your method, your mahalach, so to speak. In the first chapter, is you have principles and beliefs. So it's that's the title, and I think that's a good way of what we should discuss here. What are the principles and beliefs of this? You know, your plan, your method.
Okay, good. So I know you don't want to speak for 4 hours. So I'll speak about some of the most important principles, and everybody's welcome, of course, to read the Sefer. It was really important that I did put that into the Sefer, because you have to know, like, what are you built on? So I think one of the most important things I'm built on is that it's for everybody. You know, you listener who think or mewish from remembering and think it's not for you, that's chaval. That's, you know, it says Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, Moresha Kilos Yaakov. Not Kilos Yanai, a simple person said to Yanai, Rabbi Yanai one time, it's for Torah's for all of us. And just like Asik HaTorah is for all of us, and Limud HaTorah is for all of us, which is, Baruch Hashem, well known in our amazing times that we live in, where Limud HaTorah has penetrated Dam. Yedias HaTorah is for everybody also. For someone to think that it's not for them, and it's only for the Ravadi Yosefs and the Rechaim Kanyasis of the world, and other geniuses or non-geniuses or people who that's a very, very erroneous belief. It's a bad belief. Another big belief we have is that Yeish is something which is holding people back, this Yeish and this thing. Another one of the big principles is you need a strategy, and you have to be looking at previous steps that you've taken. Exactly like something that I make a big point about in the book is, when a person says chazer, usually what it means to them is, I'm going to relearn it. You know, so even something like, even a assumption like that has to be examined. Is that the way to do it? Like, I know right now, I want to chazer all of Shabbos over Pesach, Ben Hazman, and Bezrat Hashem. But I can tell you that does not mean, you know, harving over each Gemara, because that is such a mountain to me. Rechaim Kanievsky get through it. And there are people who have these natural skills that get through it. For me, in a zillion years, I can't imagine myself doing that. So a lot of it is really like the self-reflection. A super important principle we mentioned, like the Cheshbon HaNefesh, in terms of the Yedias HaTorah. Like, think about it. Just, you know, a lot of my book, I'm not this genius who has it all worked out. But I am thinking about it, and I am giving people places to think about it. So one of the most important principles is that we should sit down and think about it. What has been successful for me in the past? What hasn't been successful? What can I do more of? Why is it not working? You know, what am I up to? Those are some of the principles and beliefs.
Yeah, and the strategy, I think another thing you point out is being, I mean, you kind of alluded to this, being realistic. You know, like I say, you can't know everything. You can't relearn, you know, just everything commercial places again and again and again, right? Whatever, if that's what it is. It's just not, right. You have to be realistic of what you want to, almost pick and choose to some extent,
exactly.
Right?
Absolutely. 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 That's a perfect example of something that when you don't think about it, so your default position, a person's basic assumption is going to be, I have to know everything. Okay. Do you really have to know everything? First off, where'd you get that from? Second off, is that, you know, we have a very important chazal, which I didn't mention this chazal in the book, but Kadosh Baruch Hu is lova b'tronia im briosov to Medrash, which basically means that God's not, doesn't have a gun to your back. The Rosh Hashanah's on our side. So the Rosh Hashanah knows, you know, he wants us in 2023 he really thinks that we have to know every single word and memorize every single word and remember that and keep going on as we're learning Daf Yomi or Amud Yomi or whatever we're learning. How in the world are we supposed to do that? So it can't be that that's, you know, it can't be that that's the drisha for us today. Chaim basically makes that point clearly somewhere, and Likutei Halacha says that also.
Okay, so then a couple of things that you go through, almost like principles, but you know, beyond that is ratzon, is you know, want and pace. You know, what kind of pace you should be. So right. a pace is something. Let me talk about, if you want to mention ratzon first, then I'll make a comment on pace after.
I mean, ratzon is it's interesting. One of my early readers, one of my donors and supporters, one of my dearest donors and supporters, actually mentioned to me, like, if you would drop one chapter, it would be ratzon. So obviously, I didn't drop that chapter. But that's more a general idea that anything a person wants to engage in, he needs a ratzon, he needs a desire to do it. If your teenager asks you for the family car, and you say, well, you know, okay, but you have to walk 2 miles to get it. Okay, I'm there, right? I say, and he comes back, and you ask him a few minutes later, do you mind just taking the garbage out? Oh, Dad, I'm so tired, because Gary has a ratzon, he doesn't have a ratzon. So ratzon is a lesson of rats. When you have a ratzon, you run. Hasidic Shemar bring down the ratzon is osios tenor. It's the pipeline. So that's a pretty basic chapter, the idea that you need ratzon. I gave some chazals that a person can go over and some personal type statements that one can think about just to help focus. But I think pace is more a breakthrough chapter. I'm going to discuss that a little bit more. So one of the big points I say about pace is that really different people, first off, some have a pace, some don't have a pace. I love to find how Gedolim are different. Rav Yashuv never learned with a pace. His illustrious son-in-law, Zechut Sadeh B'Kadosh Baruch Hu, learned with the pace all the time. And Rav Chaim was one of the most famous pacers in we can imagine, right? He knew it was like clockwork when he was going to have to this part of Yerushalayim, he was going to have to pace of Babylon. So the first question a person has to decide, does he need a pacer or not? And then you have to think carefully, what will your pace be? And in pace, if one has the time, effort, chavrusas, etc., you have to think what's best for you. A lot of people dive into Daf Yomi head first. There's a lot of good reasons to learn Daf Yomi. Obviously, it gives a lot of people tremendous chizik. But you have to think in terms of pace. Is that a pace that one can, that you can really, one, understand the Gemara as well that you're learning, and two, have any chance for chazaring them? Generally, if you're serious about chazar and yediyah, so you have to take a step back and say, wait, is this a pace that I at all can imagine having a chazar program for? I mean, I can't imagine chazaring 7 daf a week in an effective way personally with my life. So that doesn't mean it's not worth to do daf yomi. Maybe that, you know, a person only has 45 minutes a day and you know, they don't have time to chazar. Okay, the Baruch Hashem loves whatever we do. We're not going to put anything down, God forbid. But if someone is serious about retaining their learning, like I said about the Cheshbon Nefesh, yeah, that's where the Cheshbon Nefesh comes in. Am I at all learning in a pace that affords me the chance to chazer? It's not rocket science. You just have to sit down and study yourself. You know, it's just like, you know, I make the point that sometimes in the book that saying I have to chazer more is even counterproductive because it makes you feel you're in the race. It's like saying I have to go on a diet. Don't say I have to go on a diet. You know, at a certain point, I struggle with weight also. At a certain point, I say, you know, like, just don't stop struggling. And then when you're serious, sit down and figure out how you're going to lose weight. I have lost weight recently, thank God. I don't know if you can see on the, you certainly can't hear it on the audio, but my voice sounds a little not as low or something. I'm panting less, maybe, but thank God I had to come up with a strategy that would work for me. So it's the same type of thing. We have to get serious about this and say pace is one of the best ways. It's common sense, but it's common sense, not wrong sense. You just have to sit down to yourself. Like, okay, do I want to spend time on retaining my learning? Do I not? If I do, that means I have to take time out. Where's the time going to come from? It's going to come from somewhere. It's not stay up a little bit later and push yourself and get up early. It's has to become part of the daily life, just like exercise, just like eating healthy, just like learning, just like spending time with your wife, your kids. It's part of your life. You know, that's really what it has to be.
So you mentioned not to put it belittling or demeaning anything, but do you discuss at all in the book, or maybe you have some kind of thoughts over here? We're not going into the full discussion of Yaimi and Ahmed Yaimi and Raisa, all these programs, right, as you mentioned.
Right.
Those are just a separate thing. You're not focusing on specific, you know, such learning programs like that, right?
No, but what I very much hope that anybody who learns the Sefer well will himself consider, you know, any program from a perspective of the principles and ideas that if he reads them and they make sense to him, and he adopts them, that he'll consider that. You know, look, there are a lot of programs out there. More, I'll give you a perfect example. Daf LeShavua. That's a great program, right? So I'm sure people learn Daf LeShavua a different way. Theoretically, Daf LeShavua might be a great way to have a Chazara program built in, because you're only learning one daf a week, so it could be you could have time. But you could, by the same means, not do it, you know, because you have to take the time off. It's not even a daf l'shavua if you don't take time off the chazer, so the daf l'shavua will just be a daf l'shavua. So I do have a footnote about daf yomi where I do mention some of the points here. You know, again, I'm not, God forbid, I'm not here to attack anything, but I do want people to think about whether learning daf yomi is going to be something that affords them the ability to retain their learning. Now, a person might say, look, daf yomi is what is my lifeline, daf, like they talk about the daf that keeps you alive and things like that, and it keeps me learning all times. So that might be a cheshbon which outweighs it. You know, that's, you know, I'm not here, I'm no one's posik and I'm no one's rug, and I'm not trying to be the das Torah on things, but I want people to think about it and consider that stuff. That might be. Person says, like, you know, I just don't have time in my life to chazer now, and daf yomi holds me up and it'll keep me learning it like 1 a.m. on the plane over Ben's bottom. Okay, that's fair, but understand, like anything in life, understand the cost benefit analysis, etc., and then make a decision. It's not, you know, it's and don't fake yourself out. You know, that's, you know, I just saw a Tamer of Iron Lady. Basically, what he's saying is like, stop faking yourself out. You know, you don't believe in the Broner Shalom, whatever he was talking about. But you know, we have to live with Emes. So the Emes is, it could be right now. You know, this is not for you. But if it is for you, then slow down. By the way, I just want to mention one other thing about Chazal. There is a pasuk which talks about pace. It says, Kobitz al Yad Yarba. We bring the pasuk, and it says, one who gathers a little bit at a time will gain. So that's a pasuk in Mishlei. It's a Gemara in Erevin, which darshens it, and the Gaon says it means to learn less and to chazer more. So it's not like the Chazal gave us advice about pace. So in general, one who follows their ways will be Matzliach. So, you know, that's a good rule. Chazal spoke about a lot of things in this field, not just Chazar. Chazal definitely speak about the importance of Chazar, but they did give many guidelines. It's fascinating to me and disappointing in a certain way that more learners don't follow Chazal's guidelines about things.
So we'll get to that, especially when we get to Simanim. I'm sure you'll have what to say on that. But first, let's get to the bulk of the book, the four stages, as you call it. And I'll read them here. You call them: one, learning in a way that leads to remembering; two, determining what to remember; three, recording what you choose to remember; four, regularly reviewing forever. So you can, you know, if you want to work through them, 1, 2, 3, 4, you can work through them here.
Sure. In the Makos, you know, they have, I think, in I think the Panimis Dikas Forum talk about the Makos have a Seder from, you know, from the lower Midas to the higher Midas, higher Midas to the lower Midas. So I'm going to talk about the last thing for a second, which is Chazing Forever. And I think what's relevant there, I've asked this when I've been Zoha to speak about this publicly, which, like I mentioned, Baruch Hashem, I've spoken to many yeshivas and Bate Knessis about this vital topic. So I asked him something like, what do you think is the first stage of retaining your learning? I said, of course, it's chazering. Well, if you look at my list, that's really number four. The idea of chazering forever is number four. That's important. What? That's the last thing? What do you mean? That's the point I'm talking about cheshbon nefesh and things like that, and considering and thinking about it. Yeah, it's not. Chazara, going over things again and again and again, is the last step. Let me mention one more thing about that. This was, you know, he said, what was my inspirations? There's a famous story between the Gratz Brod and Keserosh and his Talmud Chaim Volozhin, who was 19 at the time. It says he was at his peak. He was at peak intellectual abilities, and he had learned Moed, not the Mishnah, the Gemara, 14 times. And he learned Moed 14 times, and he went to the Gaon and he said to him that it's still not Mechudah Befi, it's not sharp by me. What should I do? And the Gaon said to him, "Kol yamecha b'mod chazor kai. You have to chazer forever." Now, as I mentioned in the principles, this is a bitter pill to swallow, but it's something, if you want to remember forever, if you want to really remember and retain things, I don't think, at the end of the day, it's not about gimmicks. It's not, you have to keep chazering. And back to the pacing, you have to set up a pace for yourself and a system where you can chazer. And if you don't chazer, you will forget. You know, I mentioned that I'm hoping to chazer all of Shabbos with my system over Ben Ismanim, but believe me, I don't know it right now. You could test me and say, I know it better than I did. You know what I mean? And a lot of what I've been able to masi b'siyat d'shmai is the fact that I can chazard over, I can at least think about chazaring it over Ben Ismanim. You get that? Meaning that's an accomplishment. It's not a Chaim Kanievsky, but for me, it's a big accomplishment. So a lot is that. So that's the last point, is that a person has to, you have to assume that if you don't revisit information, it will be forgotten. Now, the greater Moshe Shapiro, I was told by a Talmud of his, who obviously had a phenomenal memory, was a Baal Kishron, a genius of the highest order, said there were things were in his dam that he forgot. You know, even the greatest of the great forget things. You know, maybe Moshe Feinstein didn't forget, or Ravadi Yosef didn't forget, but I'm talking about even great, great Talmud Chachamim forget things. So if we don't chazer all the time, we can assume we're going to forget them. That's the last point. The first point is also speaks to the pace point, which is, now obviously we go into all this much more in the Sefer, but I like to say with a story from Rav Elia Lopian. Rav Elia Lopian turned to his grandson, and when he was already 90 years old or so, Rav Elia Lopian, old age, and he said, I learned Bikias and I learned Ian. I'm 90, Baruch. Like, what do you think I remember today? I remember my Ian learning better. So, the general point I took from that story and from other things that I saw was that to remember the initial thing is you have to learn something well. It's funny sometimes, you know, I know someone. A Daf Yomi, a Rebbe gives a Daf Yomi, he said to me that he has a fellow in his shir who likes will make a simon of the Daf before he even knows the Daf, which is fun. You know, it's very, very funny. It's ridiculous, really. I mean, no offense, it means you're making the tuffle the ikker, the ikker the tuffle, the whatever. That's not what it means. And it's almost impossible to remember something that's not clarity. If you don't have clarity, if you don't have understanding, etc. That doesn't mean you have to learn it in Rav, but just to like fly through something and try to remember it is not going to bear long fruit unless you put in tremendous, tremendous, tremendous kovach. It's not a natural, holistic, normal way to remember things. So that was the last thing is a person has to be ready to, you know, my humble opinion, to keep, I mean, the Gro's opinion. The Gro's very not humble opinion. A person has to be ready to chazer things and set up a system where he can seize information in some level of consistency. And you have to learn things well originally. And when you learn it well, there's a natural, just like Gravelli was saying, you know, the things that we all remember from our Ian learning because the understanding, the clarity, the chiddush, all these different things that we put into when we learn something well helps us to remember it. So those are the endpoints. Learning well the first time. Again, not necessarily Ian. It doesn't mean learning it to be Ian. We delineate exactly how. I don't, it's a little bit probably beyond the scope to go into each. I mentioned five different things I think are essential in all learning, and your Bikia Seder, but not a flying Seder. Let me make one more point about that, Rafi, is that, you know, people have, Bikias in Yeshiva, when I went to Reb Tzvi Kushelevsky, I think what Bikias meant was that we learned an Amud Gemara Shitosis over about 3.5-4 hours in an afternoon. That's a normal Bikias Seder in Yeshiva, to my knowledge. So let's see if we could talk about the Yeshivas and Kedoshas as a standard. It wasn't flying. You know, it's not three daf. It's not a daf in 45 minutes with hardly holding on to understanding. Bikias meant, you know, understanding things. It could be, you don't say after learning Tosfos, maybe you learn Gemara Rashi, maybe you learn Rashi Rush, but it's not flying. You know, this is kind of like a new thing, in my humble opinion. It's not the way that was learned. So I think the first step is just learning something in a well way. Now, the next step is a super important step, is really what you referred to a little bit before, is filtering. And it's, again, one of those mistakes that people make if they don't think about it. Oh, now I have to remember everything. That doesn't make any sense. I bring proofs to that in the Sefer that Gedolim didn't hold that way. So it's not time to bring the proofs, but no less than I'll bring one proof. The Rambam himself, so the Rambam writes a letter to his son, and he says, "Betseischem," meaning when you leave the sugya, "dat mashetovil beitchem," know what you're taking home, what you're taking to the house, as they speak about. So what does it mean, know what you're leaving? I'm taking everything. So Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Be'er Yaakov, understood that the Rambam was saying, no, not everything. You learn a sugya ad hasof, whatever level of learning means for you. And then you have to decide what you're going to put into your Mishnah that you're going to remember. And that's where a filtering process has to be done. That is so crucial. Right there, if you want to know where a lot of people lose it, where I feel myself, I lost it for years, was in that point. Because my sense was what I had to, the way I had to review was to chazer everything and go over everything and to learn everything anew. You know, that's good if you have the time, the ability, et cetera. But for so many people, you know, and I asked the listeners, you know, whether you buy the book or not, like sit down and look at yourself for a second. Is that really realistic for you? You know, how many times you learn it the first time? I try to learn something six times before I start the next step of the process. It could be four times. It could be, you know, if you have time to learn 10 times, 20 times, more the better. But there has to be a certain point where you say to yourself, you know what, I can't keep learning this inside. Or, you know, if that works, again, if it works for you learning it inside and you're sitting it and happy that you see you can retain things and keep causing them, great. But if you can't, then you have to go to this filtering process where you know, even, you know, this story about the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish, someone showed him something he'd written or something like that. He said, I don't remember how I arrived at this, but I know how holding I was when I came to this, you know, thought. And this is the principle. And if you think about it, many poskim, they don't remember every line in a tshuva. They remember their principles and they pass over their principles. So all of learning is really taking out yesodas, principles, etc., and making sure you remember those well. But it's hard to imagine, most certainly today, most even poskim remembering every single line and every single word and every single back and forth in a sugya. It's beyond the human capability for most people. And then you have to record it. So that's the overview of the four steps that I think person has to go through.
Yeah, and like you said, an overview, because there's more, but we're not going to spend the whole time. So it's in the safer for those interested. And there'll be a link in the show's notes to purchase the safer for those interested. Okay, let's move on to Simonim. Simonim is, you mentioned that we talked about things that Chazal have to say, and this is something from Chazal. So let's talk about Simonim a little bit.
Okay, great. So this is, and as I mentioned, this is an interesting one that people don't do this. And I'll tell you why it's so interesting people don't do this, because Chazal told us to do this in two places. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Dalet says, it's a beautiful Gemara which darshans the Aleph Beis, Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet, Aleph Beis, is Aleph Bina, Gimel Dalet, Gimel Dalet. A beautiful Gemara. Mamash, you have a Sunday afternoon, learn this Gemara. It's mamash beautiful. And then what's the Samach Ayin? Samach Ayin is Simanim Asay. Simanim Asay. Simanim Asay means to make Simanim. What does Simanim mean? Simanim means like mnemonics, a kesher, etc. In the Gemara in Shabbos, Chazal said in a positive way. In the Gemara in Erev, they said on the negative side, Ein Torah Niknas Elav Yisurim. So Chazal says, Simanim Asay, Knei Torah, make a Simon and you'll require the Torah. On the negative, Ein Torah Niknas Elav Yisurim. And Simanim are so powerful. Like, I don't know if anybody will ever hear my live. I don't know if any of the listeners will ever hear me live on this. So, and if you hear my live presentation, so please forgive the fact that you're not going to get this joke. But when I ask people in the middle of the little talk, usually I say, could I ask a personal question now? And, you know, some people sheepishly look like me. Yes, no. I said, I'm going to do it also. And you could do it with me, Nafi, right now. Here, Nafi, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Does that happen usually in these podcasts? Someone asks you a personal question?
Sometimes people decide to turn the tables and interview me. I don't know. Sometimes I don't have the answer. But
whenever they interview you, interview them. But no, I'm not going to. But anyway, so the personal question is, did you ever have problems spelling the word necessary? By show of hands. Yeah. You ever have problems spelling the word necessary? Yes?
Okay.
Or Nafi's hand is up. Necessary, right? So I'll tell you. So for years and years and months and years, I have problems spelling that. Now I don't have problems anymore. Why? Because I checked and I found the simon for it. Never eat chocolate, eat smoked salmon, and remain young. Never eat chocolate, any sea, eat smoked salmon, and remain young. You could have a vegan version, you know, eat smoked, I don't know, but eat smoked salmon and remain young. That's the power. Now, that's the power of a simon. That's a simon. That's a mnemonic. Chazal told us to do that as a way to remember. Now, when it comes to the word necessary, okay, you want to waste time. I'd rather not waste time having to remember and check online or check in a dictionary how to spell necessary. Now I know how to do it. The power of a simon is like we were saying, that I have a piece of information which is now solid by me. It's closed mind me. And now I remember it. I'll tell you a beautiful sim which didn't make it into the book, which one of my Talmidim and Simanim, you know, most of my Talmidim are in, you know, through my Ian Shirim, but Baruch Hashem, I have some Talmidim in Simanim. So I, one Purim Suda, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I asked everybody there to make 15 Simanim over the year. And there's a fellow, Isaac Ansel Forsyth today, he's going by Rav Asher Arieli. I wouldn't say B'schus my Simanim, but he is there, and he shares Simanim that he makes with me. So he's making Simanim, and I want everybody to hear the power of this. He made a simon, a mnemonic, on, he's learning Tanakh, on all Sefer Shoftim. So he has a little way of remembering the Indian of each perek. So listen to this beauty. Perek Yud Beis and Shoftim discusses the civil war, Rahman al-Litzan, you know, between different Shvatim and Klai Yisrael. How do you remember that Perek Yud Beis, Perek 12, is about civil war? So 12 is 1 to 2. It's 1 that becomes 2. One nation becomes 2, becomes a split people. Now, he's going to remember this. So now, these things sound like cute things, but remember, Chazal told us to do this. And now imagine you've learned Shoftim and you'd like to chazer it. How are you going to chazer Shoftim? I'll read it again. When are you going to find the time to read it again? Isaac Ansel Forsyth is going to pull out his page, one page probably of 30 prakim, whatever, however many prakim Shoftim is, and he'll have a simon like that, and he'll quickly remember the basic inyanim of Sefer Shoftim. And there he has it. And just like he has it on that, he can do it on all Tanakh. And there you have a convenient way of remembering things. So that's really the power of simanim. And it's a pella that we don't use them because they help you remember things. I have simanim to remember. I'll share a quick one. Should I share a quick note? Another one? Should I share another one? Nachi?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so this is a little bit complex, but I want to show again the power of simanim. This one I worked out a long time ago. The Olas Oaf, right, there's in the Korbanos of an Oaf, we have an Olas Oaf and we have a Chatas Oaf. And there's a Chut HaSikra on the Mizbeach, there's a red line, and some Korbanos, the dam that's thrown, the blood that's thrown of them has to be above the Chut HaSikra, some has to be below. Okay? Now, the way my memory works, why it works like that, I don't know. But it's very hard for me to remember a detail like that. Which one is above, which one's below, etc. But what I did remember, watch this, is that there's an Olas Oaf, which is a korban, which is just goes on high, and there's the Chatas, which relates somehow to sins, etc. Ola Kishma, Ola goes on high, and Chatas. And there's also an Olas Behema and a Chatas Behema. These are things that are Mefurish in the Pesukim and Sefer Vayikra. So what I had remembered was that there was an inverse relationship between the Ola and the Chatas, meaning if one was above, I remember the other one was below. And I also remember that there was an opposite relationship between the Ola and the Behema. If one was above, the other one was below in the same korban. If everybody's following this a little bit, it gets complex halachas. But you can see, now watch this. I made a simon for myself, ayin, ayin, ayin. Now watch the beauty now. Ayin, ayin, ayin. Okay, that's something you can remember. Three ayins. Olas Oaf is two ayins. Olat Oaf, two ayin, ayin. Olim, Olat Oaf. One goes up for Olat Oaf. Okay, so now I remember, or if you want to call it remember, I've found a method for myself to remember that when it comes to the dam, the blood goes above the Chut HaSikra for the Olas Oaf. But watch this. But now, where does it go for the Chatas Oaf? Well, there's an inverse relationship between the Olas Oaf and the Chatas Oaf. So the Chatas Oaf is below, and there's an opposite relationship between the Olas Oaf and the Chatas Oaf. So it means if the Olas Oaf is above, that means the Olas Behema is below, and the Olas Behema is below, the Chatas Behema is above. So in three letters, I remembered four complex halachas. Yeah, so that's what simanim can do for a person. That I believe me the, again the way some people say, well, I just remember. If you remember Gazeta Hayt, I'm not, you know, God bless you. But if you don't remember it, how are you going to remember something like that? You know, and there are thousands of simanim a person can make. You have to take, you know, you get into the practice. We talked a little bit about practical some practical guidance and how to make simanim. But if you start with that, now here's the point. As opposed to so many halachas where it's kind of like blurry and is necessary with one C, two S's, an A, and E. It's around there. But now you have it clear. The 12th parak of Shoftim is a civil war. Isaac remembers that, right? Olin Lolas Oaf is not a halacha that I falter on. That's the power of a simon.
Now I want to ask you, so that one, you do mention there's three types of simon. You mentioned the book. Simple simon, the organized information simon, which is what you just said, right? And the daf simanim. So we can get to those. And you can explain the difference. We can get to the daf simanim. So first, if you want to just explain how you differentiate between the three, and then we can get into a little bit how making simanim, even though you just kind of explained one example how you made a simon, but yeah.
Sure. I mean, simple simanim just means simple simanim. That's a qualitative difference between the two. You know, the simple and the organized information simanim. Those are categories I made up just to give them names. You know, it's good to have a name for things. A simple simon is like the Civil War, right? Civil War 12, etc. You're not dealing with a lot of information, but there's something you want to remember. I'll give you another simple example is, you know, Rav and Shmuel, right? We passing like one when it comes to Issa, we passing one when it comes to Mammon. I remember that, but I don't remember who was who. And then I said, oh, Shmuel is like Samuel is a dollar sign, right? Every American knows money. So now, again, that's something I'm not going to remember. So that's a pretty basic piece of information. And now I remember that Shmuel is a dollar sign. So that's a simple simon as opposed to Olam Lo'ez Ov, which is quite a complex simon, right? That makes sense. So those are two, you know, those are two ways of simanim. The daf simanim is something that really, you know, you see that's been, there are different systems of that. There's a Rav. I've been hearing about this for a long time. Today, you know, Zichru is Baruch Hashem popular. Avram Goldhar and his team, that was to a large extent inspired by Rav Noach Weinberg, Zichru of Racha. And so daf simanim means you want to, just like I was trying to find a way to remember the four halachas of Olin Lolaso for Chadus of etc., that's a way to hold on to the daf. Now, there are different ways to do it. I don't know that many, I'm not so familiar with the different ways, but I know some people have like one word which reminds them of a daf. I heard about a Talmud Chacham recently who remembers the Surah of every daf in Shas. He can, if you show him the outline, he can tell you exactly where it is. That's a special type of mind. It's a rub here in my neighborhood. And but I could talk about the Zichru Simanim a little bit, which I benefited from a lot, which is a nice story actually. They try to make a story out of the daf with like three pieces of information. And here's really I've never discussed it with Goldhar himself. I know him, but I haven't had the chance to discuss so much with him himself. But what I understand they do is like a story. Every speaker knows that a story sticks. You know the joke, how many times can you repeat a joke? A joke, a rub, once every 2 years, a story, once every 3 years. Dvar Torah, you can say same, you can say the Dvar Torah twice in the same drasha. But people remember stories are memorable. That's why good speakers always draw to stories. People have their story. What's your story? Businesses have to tell their story. Story is a good line. So they'll take the daf dalid is a door. Dalit, Dalit, Gimel, Gamal, Gimel, etc. So they'll use the daf, Kaf Ches is Koach, strength, etc. So you'll make a story and you'll take three items from the daf and make the story around that. So as opposed to remembering dry facts, you're remembering something which is more evocative, more memorable, like a story. And through that, you remember three details of the daf plus the story. That's the basic way that they work. They've developed a lot more. They're printing pictures, and I'm a fan of what they're doing. I change from what they're doing, but I'm a fan of what they're doing. They'll have pictures, and they even have videos now, etc., which are all there to monitor. Now, I want to talk about the backstory of that. The backstory of that is, again, using things like evocative, the memory literature, which I read a little bit, the second memory literature talks about the fact you want to make things as evocative as possible. You know, as B'nai Torah, we won't do this, but in the world of memory, which is very interesting because it's such a silly world, it's just about memorizing phone numbers or packs of cards. It's really silly, kind of like strange people are involved in it usually, but it's about being evocative. So they'll use evocative images. We don't want to, you know, we won't use the evocative images they use, obviously, for our Kodesh, but the word evocative is a good word. Funny is a good word. You want something that's just going to help you be memorable. Like, so that's why, you know, it's, I don't want to say this word. Now people are going to say it. It's like, that's why something's like not yeshivish. You know, I've been in yeshivas. My son's been yeshivas, you know, for 35 years now. And I love yeshivas, you know what I'm saying? But sometimes, you know, to do the right thing, we have to like not always be yeshivish and do what's told by Hashem. And, you know, if a siman is like, I don't even know what it means exactly, but I think people know what I mean when I say like making simanim is in yeshivish. That is a really pathetic reason not to do it. And you know, not to come out, not to use methods that can help you remember the Halakha Torah, which Chazal told us to do, you know, it's very, very bad. So I just wanted to set that aside because, you know, I hope that's okay. Is that okay? You know what I mean? But so simanim have to be the type of things like evocative, wake you up, etc. And you can make them, like, as I said, you can take a simple piece of information, turn it into siman, and make a more complex piece of information, turn it into siman. And then you can make daf simanim, which there are different methods, you know, zikru probably being the most popular today. And I have my own variation on zikru because, which you can read about in the book, exactly where I personally deviate from zikru on a few basic points, which are important, but I think it's maybe beyond the scope of what we're dealing with right now. But that's a point which is well spoken about in the book. How to make simanim, should I go into that a little?
Yeah, I think we're just in briefly, and just also all the simanim falls under step three, I guess, right? Recording what you learned.
Right. But correct. But it does, see, right, exactly. It's, you can, you know, Noah Weinberg, I believe, that about 1,700 simanim in Shas and about 1,700 in Shulchan Aruch, etc. You know, you don't have to wait to make a simon also, by the way. If you see a piece of information you want to remember, you hear a shmooze you want to remember, like, break it down. Like, what did I went to that great talk by Rabbi Gladstein, and he made, you know, how many points? What were the main points he made? Four times. You can try to, he told me something about Shabbos, and you can make it into a four-letter word, and through that, remember that talk. You know, it doesn't always have to go through the process, but then you should record your simon probably also, because it's likely that you'll forget it afterwards also at a certain point. But here's the point. It's 1,000 times easier to chaz that simon than to listen to Rabbi Gladstein again, even if you're doing it on double time. You're going, you know, you can only, the person only has so much time. It'll take you a lot less time to chazer all those simanim on Sefer Shoftim than to chazer Sefer Shoftim, even if you really read it really fast. And besides the fact, when you really, really read it really fast, a lot of times it's not going into your head at all because you're not thinking about it. So it takes a lot less time. But correct, that's where it fits in.
Okay, so there is making simanim. If you want to just mention it briefly, you kind of mentioned the ayin. So if you want to just mention it briefly, just briefly, then I want to, you know, you can mention it.
How to make them?
Yes.
Yeah. So how to make them? You really, it's beyond the scope of. You have to get in. You have to really start and get into it because you need a pen and paper. You need to be a little bit creative. You need to. You need to work off the information you know and then fill in the part where you're having a gap, right? If a person says, I just can't remember anything, so you can't make a simon about something you remember nothing about. The whole point of a simon, listen for a second, is that you're drawing back the information and it's reminding me of something, right? So it means, so if I just memorize the zichru simon, but I don't remember the daf at all, so it's not bringing me to anything, so then there's nothing to remember, right? I remember that Rav and Shmuel argue about it, Isser and Mammon. That piece of information was in my head, and I got it. That's there. But I couldn't remember who said what. So that's where the simon comes and fills in the blank, kind of. So you're working with what you know. You're working with the self-awareness of what you don't know and filling in the blank. So it takes a little bit of reflection, thinking a little bit, you know, and you have to consider, what do I know, what do I not know, and how do I know it? And that's how you make your simon. That makes sense. So another thing I said, again, this is not a yeshivish thing. I suggest very much to have a chavrusa for simanim. You know, what a beautiful thing it would be if someone said 15 minutes, you know, if a person comes and is convinced by this podcast or by reading my sefer or by Chazal, ton times more, and says, you know what, wow, I should make simanim. I'm going to try to make one a week. And then get a chavrusa, a like-minded chavrusa, could be even your wife, but better, obviously, like-minded chavrusa, and try your sim with him and see if it works, you know, and he could sometimes fill in for you a little bit, you know. It's the kind of thing that if you don't try, you'll never get good at. And it's important, trial and error is important. You're not just going to jump in unless you're real natural and just be able to do it. But like anything, if it's worthwhile, if it's worth it to you, which I believe it should be, so then you try it and eventually kind of like get it, and here you are. Now I know how to make simanim, and suddenly it works for me. And then you'll find yourself making simanim, and if success breeds success. See, when I say necessary and I make a joke out of it, and now I remember it, so that engenders my rutzen to do another one. And when I remember now the twelfth parak of Shoftim is that. So you have to start, you know, like in Kol's Kashus, Sofa Yarav Lechem, like Rashi says in Shmos, when you get into it, you see that it works, and then you want to do it. Hey, it works. I wake up, I remembered stuff. Well, everything was blurry to me. Now it's not. So now you're going to go and do it more and more.
So you mentioned earlier that Gemara is complex. So like this is obviously, you know, and we discussed, you know, different things about Gemara here. But you also mentioned that you have, you know, Simanim for Nach. You mentioned the one in Yeshua. You had Parakid Beis. So do these kind of, this whole program here that we're discussing, is it mainly for Gemara? Is it for everything? Doesn't matter? Does it work better for certain things over others, areas of learning?
Good. Yeah, good. Good. So I want to be honest about that. You know, the main thing that I learn is, you know, the main thing that I learn and that I work on remembering is Gemara, just as a Gemara Rebbe. And, you know, that's what, you know, I sit squarely with most of Klal Yisrael with that. Nothing wrong with remembering other things, for sure. But definitely it can work for other. I know women have read the Sefer. You know, if you want to, a woman's going to Shiur Mon Bitachon or something, wants to remember the major points, so then she should also use, she can use Simanim. By the way, another thing that's I mentioned in the Sefer is also the idea of summaries, right? Summaries is a koach that people absolutely need. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I learned it. How to make a summary, how to make a outline. Outlining is such an important koach, and it's something that, you know, is not taught enough, I think, in yeshivas, and just to tell a person how to outline things. So even if your simon doesn't have to be this, it doesn't have to be like this cute, necessary dollar sign, I-99. It could also just be making really nice summaries, realizing you have to filter things, summarizing, and then going through. You could summarize Derech Hashem. I have a Talmud who I know has beautiful summaries on Derech Hashem. You could, now, let's take this. I happen to be chazing Derech Hashem right now, so I'm happy to chazer it inside because it's so such a Yisodus Dikta Sefer, but it's taking me a very, very, very long time. If I had a summary on Derech Hashem, I could read it, chazer it in a lot less time. So for sure, these things, Simanim can definitely work for all types of areas of knowledge. Summaries for sure work for all the areas of knowledge. I personally haven't tried them enough to feel as confident about them as I have for where I've used them, but I see no reason that they shouldn't work personally. You know, the Sefer was written for the point of Gemara because that's what I was working on. But I mentioned that point in the introduction, the first chapter. That's not just for that. You
know? Okay, so then one of the final things that you discuss, a sample schedule. You call it sample schedule, putting it all together. It's a sample schedule with Chazaro, with tests, different things. So what do you have to just quickly say on any of that, or just, you know, it's in the Sefer for those interested. Okay. Again, you can see it.
Right. So sample schedule, what's so important about the sample schedule is I want to make another point about why I think this is a good Sefer, is because the idea of balance. Really, a lot of what I'm looking for, as I said, like, you know, my natural skills are more in Ian. I give an Ian share every day, a decently high level Ian share, Baruch Hashem. You know, I learn by greats, V'siyat D'Shemaya. And what I was really looking for in my own life was a sense of balance and realizing that, okay, maybe on a certain level I know how to learn, whatever that means, but that's not enough. You know, there's another part to Limud HaTorah, and I want to reach that. That was just a side point. But in terms of the sample schedule, but people have to find their own balance, really. I'm not coming here, you know, and saying that this is the only way to learn or that this is the only way to do things. There's a lot of room within what I'm putting out in the Sefer for people to use their own individuality and find their own things. I'm putting out a lot of ideas there, and really I'm encouraging the reader. I hope this Sefer, and it has been for many people's, you know, hundreds, Baruch Hashem already, it's like a flashlight to look at your own learning and decide and figure out, you know, what's going to work for you. And maybe Simanim won't work for you, but maybe summaries will, and maybe... you know, this will. So in terms of that's just a really important basic point. But in terms of the sample schedule, so what I wanted to show there was that, as I just said, that it's an individual path and you have to find your way, but I wanted to give a sense of how one could bring it all together. So, for example, We talk about a four-week model where you learn forward for 3 weeks, and then the fourth week you chazer. So, but within the first week, you're chazering already a few times yourself. Because a point which I didn't talk about now, which is very much in the book, is the idea of learning things multiple times. To me, it's very, very strange to learn something one time and try to remember it. I can't understand that. It's odd. Chazal don't say it. And the Chavos Chaim said learning less than four times isn't learning at all, etc. So let's say someone has a Bekiyas Seder. Let's say a person has an hour to learn a day. Okay, so now the default, what most people are doing, is just, okay, I'll just learn to go weiter, etc., and tell myself I should chazer. Wait. Don't do that. Right? Don't do that. Chazer, let's say you have six hours a week to learn, 6 hour slots. So go a little slower. The first day, the second day, chazer what you did the day before. So you saw whatever, let's say an Amid, you're learning an Amid, you're on half an Amid. I learned half an Amid on Sunday, and I learned it again on Monday. So I've seen it twice. And now at the end of the week, don't go weiter. Do less and chazer everything you've done in the week. So now coming out of the week, you've learned things three times. One time going forward and two times chazering. At the end of the month, right, let's say if you go forward for three weeks, the fourth week, dedicate yourself totally to chazara. All this is before anything we spoke about filtering or not just your initial learning. That's how I would advise to learn it the first time. And then during that chazara week, you can see it two or three times again. And then and only then do you start making simanim and making summaries and things like that. And then you have to introduce into yourself a time when you're going to start chazing your summaries or chazing your simanim, right? So you're doing less, because I'll tell them it's kovitz al yad yada. So the summary is an important chapter because it kind of like brings it all together, at least in one model. Someone might say, no, I want to go forward for 4 weeks. Or like me myself, I'll give you an example. The way I write in the summary is to like then build in and chaz your summaries as you go all the time, etc. You know, I personally, it works better for me to chaz to them like over ben hazmanim. So that's how like I do it. But there's a lot of flexibility, but that was the basic point of this summary, was to just show how they can all fit together, in a nice way.
Yeah, and it's important for a sefer that's about pertaining your learning and summaries and simanim, but there is a summary and 19 bullet points. It has to be, of course, has to be a sefer. So there's, and then there's some other things that you talk about, remembering, creating a perfect jurim, testing. We'll leave that, you know, for those interested, read more in the sefer. So I want to mention that sefer is 100 pages.
If I can make one point about testing, because do you mind? Can I make one? Just make one quick point about testing.
Quickly.
You should really. I was very happy with that was really one of my latest chapters, because testing is a perfect example of how when we don't think enough, we think we're doing it and we're really not. Because the person says, oh yeah, sure, I'm working on Chazara and Yediyah because I got tested. Well, guess what? You know, how many people remember the algebra they got tested on in eighth grade? There are thousands of things we get tested on that we forget. So, you know, testing, I kind of quoted Winston Churchill. You know, Churchill said something about the Battle of England. I think it's not the end. It's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. And his immortal eloquence, it's not the end. It's not the beginning of the end. It's the end of the beginning. So I look at testing as it's not the end, you know, but it's kind of the end of the beginning. If you've tested it, it's a good sign. Now you're ready to go make simanim and ready. Now you're ready to chazer once you've tested. So,
yeah. Okay. And like I said, there's a couple other things in here. Now I mentioned that the sefer is about 100 pages, so it's not too big. You can get through it. It's not a massive thing. And like I said, distributed all time available. And I'll put a link in the show's notes for those interested in purchasing it. So with that, thank you, Rabbi Schoonmaker, for joining me.
Thank you, Nachi, so much. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate your time and appreciate all the listeners' time. And everybody should be good benched in all things. Thank you, everybody.